Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today, and also a special welcome to those joining us via live stream this morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, beautiful day to gather together and worship our Lord. So would you join me in prayer? Maker of the universe and of the hairs of our heads, our beginning and our end, you came to us in Jesus Christ and you fill us with your Spirit. We come today because we need you. We come because we love you as much as we are able. We come because we choose to trust you to lead us on our life's journey. So we ask today that you would challenge us, correct us, heal us, and encourage us. Teach us, guide us, renew and refresh us, and may our faithfulness to you mature in some small way this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join the worship team?
Well, I'd invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Before us,
ushers to come forward at this time to take this morning's offering, and there's also the microphones count up here for the kids.
Ability to gather here today and worship you, Lord. We want to praise and honor you in our songs and our worship, but also in our tithes and offerings as well, Lord. We want to bless this offering as it is used to go out into our local community here to share your good news of what we all know here today, Lord, that others would know as well. Even in Bowmansville and surrounding areas, Lord, that may have never heard of you before, Lord, that they would know you and come to know you, that we would be together with you forever, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Power that can conquer ages, see, and turn community of believers that we can celebrate your life with. I also thank you for your mighty power. And just as we think about spiritual warfare, that there is a battle and something to be achieved, but that you are victorious and the mighty one, and that we don't have to fear the outcome because we know that you will triumph after all. Just pray that you would continue to be with Larry as he shares the message, and be with each of us as we hear the words that he says, that we could take a message from you to go through this week. In his name, pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward at this time. Have a seat over here. There's plenty of room over here. Right there. It's not so hard, is it? Good. Well, good morning.
Hi.
I'm glad you came front today. So I want to ask you a question. Who do you know who is really strong and powerful?
Jesus.
Jesus,
yes.
Do you know anybody like in your life, like your dad?
Yeah.
Is he strong and mighty, powerful?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. But you're right. Jesus is much more, much stronger, and much more powerful. So, the Bible tells us a lot about God, who God is. We learn from the Bible that God's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's ever-present, he's unchanging, and he's faithful. So those are all things that we learn from the Bible. But today we're going to talk about the power, the mighty power of God, because he's more powerful than anything else.
God is powerful in the whole world.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, there's a verse from Psalm 147, verse 5, that says, "Great is the Lord and mighty in power." Can we say that verse together? Great is the Lord and mighty in power. Okay? Great is the Lord and mighty in power. Yes, that's it. You got it. So let's say it again. But this time let's go. Great is the Lord and then mighty in power. Okay? Got it? Great is the Lord and mighty in power. That's right. So don't forget that. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. So if God has the power to perform miracles, create everything, raise Jesus from the dead, can he take care of you? What do you think? Your heads are nodding.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Yes, God is able to take care of us no matter what happens to us throughout our lives. So, would you be disappointed this morning if you didn't get a snack?
Yeah.
I see some shaking their heads, don't really matter, but you very emphatically, you'd be very disappointed. Well, there is a snack. After I have a prayer, you can see Sandy and she'll give you a snack, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word that tells us how mighty and powerful you are. So I pray that these children would begin to understand exactly how mighty and exactly how powerful you are, and they would trust you one day as their Lord and Savior. So I ask for your special blessing upon them today. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen. Okay, check in with Sandy, and you can have a snack and then head back. How to say hi to Bubba, right? Well, good morning again, and greetings in the strong and powerful and victorious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message this morning. I certainly do appreciate your prayers as you intercede for me. Before we get into the message, there's a few prayer requests that have been brought to my attention I'd like to share with you this morning, and then we'll have a time of prayer. First of all, Carol Whitmer is still in a lot of pain. She can't find relief from her pain. And on Wednesday, they have a meeting with the doctor to discover what the path forward may look like. So we need to be in prayer for Ken and Carol as they go through this very difficult time. Also, Wayne Ristler is having back surgery on May 12th. So we need to be in prayer for Wayne. There's also a single mother has her children enrolled in before and after school program who's experiencing some very serious health issues. So we're going to use some funds from the community outreach fund, what we just took an offering for this morning. Some of those funds will be used to help her, assist her through this very difficult time. So I want to have a time of prayer for her. And also, just letting you know that Grace Zimmerman has moved to Garden Spot Village, so she is no longer at Maple Farm. She moved to Garden Spot Village yesterday. She's temporarily in room 109, or B109, and she'll be moving to a permanent room sometime in the week or two ahead. When that takes place, there'll be her permanent address, her new phone number will be in the bulletin for your information. So this morning, before we enter into the message, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace and your deep love for us. Lord, right now we just lift up Carol Whitmer to your throne of grace. I pray, Father God, you would surround her with your presence. We do ask for relief from the pain in the strong and mighty powerful name of Jesus Christ. And as they meet with a doctor on Wednesday, we pray for answers, that there'll be a definite path forward. And we just ask that you be with Ken as she walks by Carol's side during this very difficult time. We also lift up Wayne to your throne of grace as he faces surgery on May the 12th. Surround him and Bernice with your presence and your peace in a very powerful way. And we also lift up this single mother whose child attends the before and after school program. She's facing some very serious health issues. I pray, Father God, that she would sense your presence with her in a very powerful and a real way. And I pray for healing for her in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, because we believe that you are a God who can indeed perform miracles. We also ask you give Grace Zimmerman the ability to transition to a new surrounding. I pray that you would help her to adjust to those surroundings. I just pray for your peace to fill her and surround her as well. So now as we enter into your, looking into your word, I ask, Father God, that you would put a hedge of protection around this building as we talk about spiritual warfare. Put a hedge of protection around this building, a hedge of protection around this congregation. And we pray this in the powerful and the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last Sunday, Pastor Tony introduced this sermon series on spiritual warfare. If you see that slide, it says spiritual warfare. It's not a game. It's a very serious aspect of the Christian life. And I think we need to understand that this morning. We as Christ followers need to be aware that we are indeed engaged in a spiritual battle every day of our lives. On April the 17th, Resurrection Sunday morning, I shared the message that morning, also helped to serve communion. But what you didn't realize is that I was not feeling well that morning. I taught the final lesson of the faith exploration class, and immediately after that class, I began to feel very weak and nauseous. I told my wife Sandy that, and she contacted several members of the PCRC, the Pastor Congregation Relations Committee. And I'm telling you, as soon as they began to pray, I immediately felt better, much better. So I was able to share the message. After church, I went home and crawled into bed, weak and not feeling well at all. Now, please understand, I don't believe that spiritual warfare comes into play every time that I'm feeling ill. But I do believe that when someone stands here and proclaims the truth, the Word of God, especially on a Resurrection Sunday morning, when we're proclaiming that Jesus is indeed alive and well, we have an enemy who will do whatever he can to keep that from happening. Because I believe that our enemy has one thing in mind. He desires to make us ineffective. But the title of this message this morning is The Greatest Adventure Following Jesus. Because I believe that the moment that we say yes to Jesus, yes to following him, the spiritual battle intensifies. And he will do whatever he can to make us ineffective and try to get us to fall, because that's what he does. Ineffective in overcoming temptation and ineffective in our witness as Jesus' followers. Just to name a few ways that he tries to make us ineffective. So I submit to you today that I believe there is nothing more adventurous, there is nothing more fulfilling than being in tune with the Holy Spirit of the living God, following his leading, following his guiding in our lives during our short stay on this earth. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they, Jesus' followers, may have life and have it to the full. Our enemy has only one intent: steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they may have life. Full, abundant, fulfilling life. It's what everyone on the face of this earth is seeking. So like Pastor Tony mentioned last Sunday, we're going to be using some thoughts from the book, Spiritual Warfare, written by Dean Sherman during this series. So one of the important ideas that Dean mentions in his book is the importance of maintaining a balance, not looking for a demon behind every bush, and not totally ignoring the idea of spiritual warfare. Like most things, there seems to be two extremes, and you can fall into the ditch on either side of the road. So last Sunday, Pastor Tony shared about the need to know who we are in Christ in order to follow Jesus effectively. If you and I are unaware of all that Jesus has secured for us by his finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, we will be weak and ineffective in our walk with the Lord. So to quote from Dean Sherman's book, we need to be aware of the devil and impressed with God. In order to be impressed with God, you've got to know him personally. You've got to consistently be in the Word. Paul says this in Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. In the Christian life, we battle against rulers and authorities whose leader is Satan. 1 Peter 5, 8b and 9a says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. How? Ephesians 6, 10b, his mighty power. To resist, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of the armor that he provides. We also clearly need to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not other people. Our enemy is Satan, and we need to resist him in the spiritual realm through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit living within us and getting down on our knees in fervent prayer. Knowing who we are in Christ and using our position as born again believers. When Paul says finally in Ephesians 6:10, it means we need to look at what precedes Ephesians 6 in Paul's writings. We can't be strong in the Lord and his mighty power until we have embraced at least three things that Dean Sherman suggests. These three things are related to our position in Christ. Sit, walk, and stand. So first, let's look at sit. In Ephesians chapter 1 through chapter 3, Paul focuses on our position in Christ and our relationship with God the Father. So I encourage you to read through Ephesians chapter 1 through Ephesians through chapter 3, because they are full of declarations of who we are in Christ based upon what God has done, not what we have done. You see, I wish the church the worldwide church could get hold of what Ephesians 1:19-21 tells us. Listen to these words. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. You see, the world fears the power of the atom. Yet we belong to the God of the universe, who not only created the atom, but also raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the mighty power of God, that we're called to be strong in. So hang with me here. Ephesians 1:20b says, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, Ephesians 2:4-6, Paul writes this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ's resurrection from the grave, we know that our bodies will also be raised from the dead. Jesus declared, I'm the resurrection and the life. In John 11:25, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And because of Christ's resurrection from the grave, we've been given the power through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit living within us to live victoriously as Christians now, today, in this world of garbage. We need to get hold of this. We are recipients. We are recipients of some very incredible truths. Very incredible truths from the Holy Word of God. And it culminates with God seating us with Christ in the heavenly realms. Wow. That's almost too much to handle. But this is the truth that must be cemented into our minds and our hearts. Reading the book of Ephesians should create an unshakable confidence in God's power, God's mighty power. But it is not enough to just believe something that's written on a page. It's not enough to believe something that was written for us. We must live it out every day of our lives, moment by moment, day by day. We must embrace these truths, believe them, and learn to sit with God. Secondly, walk. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, Paul writes this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The King James and a few other translations use the wording to walk in a worthy manner. The Living Bible says to live and act in a way worthy of the calling you have received. The Apostle Paul is explaining the responsibilities of believers to act according to the will of God and to the Word of God, or to learn to walk as born again believers. As Christ followers, we are saved and sanctified, is a big church word, sanctified, which means set apart, made holy. I call it the process of being supernaturally transformed by the Holy Spirit. So we are called to walk and live out our faith every day that God gives us breath. We're called to walk in a way that is different than the world in which we live. It is a responsibility of every believer in Jesus to walk in obedience to the Word of God, to walk in the light, and to walk in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We must clearly understand that there is nothing that we can do to add to what Jesus has done for us. We're only able to walk in humility, to be gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another in love because of what Jesus has done for us. Third, stand. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. I'm going to read those verses. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Like Tony mentioned last Sunday, we need to know, without a doubt, who we are in Christ if we're going to resist and stand strong against our enemy. So this past week, I was reading an article, and I was very intrigued by it because some college students had a blog relating to a Satan club they were involved in. In their blog, they were addressing Christians, saying, "You Christians love to see pictures of Jesus suffering on the cross because it reminds you of all that Jesus has done for you. But we Satanists love to create images of God in comfortable positions, like in a bubble bath." That was the quote. So I wonder if comfort is one of the schemes of the devil that we need to stand against. Think for a moment. Wouldn't Satan try to make us Christians comfortable by trying to convince us that Jesus is comfortable with his fallen world? Therefore, we should also be comfortable in and with this fallen world. And wouldn't Satan try to make Christians comfortable by trying to keep them from understanding exactly what took place on the cross? Because that is where I believe that Jesus Christ disarmed the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Amen. I believe that one of the lies that we hear from Satan is, don't take up your cross and follow Jesus. Just relax. Be comfortable. Take a bubble bath. You deserve it. Now understand, I'm not saying there's never a time to rest. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is this. I believe the lie comes when we fall for the idea that we just sit back, relax, and our primary focus and our energy should be poured into making ourselves comfortable instead of making disciples. Making disciples and following the way of Jesus, the suffering servant who laid down his life for all. The way of Jesus is a self-sacrificing, self-denying way of love. Paul wrote, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." We need to sit. Remember, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We need to walk. Remember, we need to walk in obedience to Jesus Christ every day of our lives, walking in humility, being gentle, patient with one another, and bearing with one another in love. And we also need to stand against the schemes of the devil by being strong in the Lord and his mighty power. David Jeremiah said this, and I quote, Whenever we compare ourselves to the opposition, instead of comparing the opposition to God, we can fall into a state of fear, unquote. When we compare our enemy, Satan, to God, quite frankly, there is no comparison. So that tells me I have nothing to fear in this world. So I submit to you this morning that we embark and engage on the greatest adventure following Jesus There's nothing you will do that is more adventurous. I promise you. There's nothing you will do that's more adventurous than following, being in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. And when we're drawing strength from the Lord and His mighty power, then we can be victorious as we take our stand against the devil's schemes. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. And I pray this morning, in the strong and mighty power of Jesus' name, that Father God, you, by your Holy Spirit, would help us to understand the incredible power, the incredible strength that is available for us to be overcomers, to be victorious as we engage in spiritual warfare, as we live out every day of our lives on this earth. So I'm asking today that you would give us insight. Not only insight, but give us the ability to rely upon you and your mighty power to be victorious, to be overcomers, and not rely upon our own strength. So again, we thank you for your deep love, and I pray, Father God, you would continue to change us, to transform us, making us into who you want us to be as individuals and also as a congregation here at Bowmansville. And I pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
So I have two quick Bible school announcements. The first announcement is that we are going to be having a volunteers meeting next Monday, May 9th at 7 p.m. here at the church, just to kind of go over some basic week stuff, what's happening. So if you're a volunteer, please come to that. And if you can't make it, please let me know, and I'll make sure you get all that information to you. The second announcement is most of you have probably seen this in your mailbox. If you haven't, I have plenty more that you can have. What I want you to do is to be thinking about and praying who you want to see at Bible school this year. Is it a coworker's children? Is it grandkids, your nieces and nephews, your next door neighbor? And think about who you want to see here and give them this card. It has all the information that we are advertising for our Bible school, and I hope to see them there.
Well, thank you, Amanda, for that announcement, and thank you for all your hard work that you're putting into VBS. Just a couple of quick announcements before we have the benediction. In your bulletin, you will see and notice May 22nd is Family Life Focus here at Bowmansville. Mike Wanger and Lauren Patches from Strive Counseling will be here to share that morning. Also, there's a note in there about Sheldon Brubaker's term as financial deacon is coming to an end the end of this year. He has agreed to serve another five-year term, and so we're asking for your affirmation of that. Ballots will be sent out this coming week for you to affirm Sheldon for another five-year term. And lastly, I'm saving this for last so you don't forget it as you're walking out the door. Everyone sitting here this morning knows that groceries have gone through the roof. The price of groceries has gone through the roof. So before and after school has been affected by this, and it's blown our budget out of the water. So what we're asking for is there is, in either foyer, there is a paper with a list of groceries that you can purchase and bring back to the church by May the 16th so the before and after school can use them in the before and after school program. So I'm urging you to please sign up and bring those groceries to the church by May the 16th. And thank you for your support of that. Thank you for your offering for the Community Outreach Fund, as that fund is going to be used, like I mentioned, for the before and after school single mother who's facing some very serious health issues. So it's a way that we as a congregation can be involved in our community, sharing the love of Jesus with these individuals. So thank you very much for your support. Would you stand to receive this parting blessing from Jude, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.